We have spent some time talking about this, but to refresh your memory, there is a pending action that the CHL, the Canadian Hockey League, junior hockey, if you will, across the country is facing, and that is a $180 million class action lawsuit that has not been certified as yet, but has the plaintiffs seeking back pay, holiday pay, and damages. And maybe as impactful, potentially, is the ability of the league to pay this, not only this amount, but going forward. To that end, a study, is that the accurate word?
I think so, John, yeah.
Has been commissioned by the CHL to address the economic picture that this league and its individual teams are in. The architect of that study is our next guest. Norm O'Reilly is the chair of the Department for Sports Administration at Ohio University, and he joins us on the phone. Hello, Norm. Good of you to take time for us. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Great. Thanks. Wonderful to be here.
I've glanced at the study. Unfortunately, we received it just at the beginning of the program, and we don't have a whole lot of time during the course of the show to read a lengthy document as long as this. But let me give you my assessment that this document essentially says CHL teams are not sufficiently profitable to be able to afford what this lawsuit suggests they pay, both in terms of damages from the past or going forward in terms of the economic future of the game. Is that accurate?
Yeah, on average, based on the last 5 years of financial data and maintaining all of the investments that they currently do, yes.
So then I'm going to put you a bit on the spot. Let me rephrase. I was going to ask you a question, but let me make a statement and you tell me what you think of it. If this case gets to court and this is being decided by a judge and I'm the judge in this case, I'm saying, well, that's all very interesting, but that's not what the law is. And I'm not responsible for whether CHL teams can make money or not make money or exist or don't exist. What's your response to that? In other words, the report, while interesting, isn't relevant.
So certainly I'm not a lawyer. So my expertise is far from the legal piece. What I was commissioned to do was to say, what is the financial profitability, viability of these 42 clubs, WHL and OHL, over the last 5 years? Mm-hmm. I went through all the financial statements, all their tax returns, and did that piece. And you've seen that piece about, you know, it's approximately a break even across the board. There's a few that do well. There's a number that do very poorly. We've had bankruptcies. And then hypothesizing, to your point, if we added a minimum wage per player and maintain the investments that they make in scholarships and player support and all those things that happen right now, which are significant, it would put 80% of those seasoned clubs into a lost position. So I only speak on the economic side and from
I understand
these clubs. So absolutely. So that would be the summary there. I don't know the legalities of the labor law. So that I couldn't really speak to that.
Fair enough.
Norm, isn't one of the real issues is that when you, and you talk about it in the report, almost calling them outliers, is that when a junior hockey team does make money, and you know the team that comes to mind, and I don't expect you to disclose it, but the London Knights are a profitable hockey organization that might be the most profitable hockey team in Canada without a salary cap, that they probably create a little bit of a tone for a lawsuit like this to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you saw, John, and nice to chat with you again. I know we've chatted in the past, mm-hmm. and you've helped me with some research. But there are 8 occasions in the sample between 12 and 16 where a club, and as you say, I'm not allowed legally to say who they are, but 2 of the clubs generated 7 of those 8 seasons with over $1 million in profit. And there's a third club that was in a championship season. Conversely, there's 10 seasons where a club lost more than $1 million. So you really get this kind of this picture, as I think you're getting, of not unlike some other leagues where you've got a couple of clubs that are doing very, very well. You've got a few clubs that are doing okay. And then you've got a huge number of clubs where the owner is writing a check every year to pay off the debt that they've incurred, whether that's a syndicate or community owner, the owner club or a corporate club, whatever the ownership group is. There's a lot of them that are carrying debt. So when I look at it as a league across and having dug into all the financial statements, you have to think about all the members of the league. So yes, you could implement this policy, but you would have to either A, cut some programs, B, some programs within the clubs to support players or mm-hmm. other expenses, or B, some of these clubs would cease to exist because it just become really not a viable financial situation.
Well, and again, I would argue that I'm not sure that that's of concern to whoever's going to adjudicate this case, assuming it gets to that point. But that's another issue on its own. Did you, in the course of your study, and again, you'll forgive me, we got this late. I haven't read the whole thing. I just glanced through it. I did not see any analysis of what the specific impact of paying players more than what they get now would have. In other words, how do you quantify how many hours would players be paid for? At what rate would I assume it would be at least minimum wage? Did you do math on any of that?
I did. And I know it's a big, long, statistically deep report, mm-hmm. and it just came out. So, yeah, so what I did was made an assumption of full-time work during the extent of the season per player using the minimum wage, exactly as you said, but per state or province, as you know,
it differs.
Variety
yeah.
of places. So it differs. So it took an average and an estimate of those and added them in. So there's two levels of analysis. One is current situation, which we just talked about. And the second was assuming, and to your point, certainly other things could be cut, but assuming that additional minimum wage is added on top of the investments and all the expenses the clubs are incurring now, how does that change it? And then that knocks it to the situation where the average club would lose around about $350,000 a year. The current situation is that the average club basically breaks even right. across all the observations of $3,000 profit, with that big range that we talked about between those that are getting $1 million in profit to those that have been losing $1 million or high hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit. So it knocks it down that chunk, as you'd expect if you took that average across the board. So yes, we did do that.
So based on the 42 teams that you did analysis of, if they were legally forced to pay minimum wage, 40-hour work week, how many teams of the 42 in the OHL and the Western League, how many would survive?
So what we have, great question. So what we have is, so we did 5 years of data, because you know we've got things like the Memorial Cup revenue share and the World Junior revenue share. So we did 5 years of data to kind of smooth that. So if you take club observations per season, 80% of the 80.3%, 155 of the 193 data points we had would move to a loss situation. To your point, some of those are modest losses. You would be looking at approximately a quarter. But really, it would come down to the owner's interest in whether they'd want to keep going at that kind of loss. And my observation on the financials is there are a number of owners right now in the Canadian Hockey League that love hockey, that love their community, and are writing a check every year to keep their team going. So how big that check would be the answer to your question, okay. John, until they'd be okay. So clearly some, and then others, would they be willing to increase how much they're paying every year? Because certain owners are comfortable right now to write a check every year because they believe in hockey in their small community in the CHL and supporting it. Others at the other end, as you know, are certainly generating profit.
Yeah. Norm, would that we had more time to address this, but the truth of the matter is that this is a complex Oof. And lengthy situation, and we will address this going forward as this action, if it does continue, does. And many things to ask, but we'll save them for another day. We thank you for your time today.
We appreciate it. Happy to come back, and thank you for the opportunity to be on. It was great.